From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Asmawati Rahman. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segment to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting information, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, we begin with news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. On COVID-19 handling, President Joko Widodo considers the safety of the people the highest in law. Trump asked for option for attacking Iran last week, but held off. Now the news in details. President Joko Widodo reminded his staff about enforcement of health protocols discipline. The head of state asked the National Police Chief, the 10E Commander, and the chairperson of the COVID-19 Handling Task Force to take firm action if there are parties who violate the previously set restriction. This was conveyed by President Joko Widodo when chairing a limited cabinet meeting to discuss the report of the Committee for Handling COVID-19 and National Economic Recovery at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta on Monday. The president emphasized that people's safety is the highest law.
Dalam penanganan COVID, saya ingin tegaskan bahwa keselamatan rakyat adalah hukum tertinggi.
In handling COVID, I would like to emphasize that people's safety is the highest. During this pandemic, we have decided that social restrictions include the dissolution of the crowd. Therefore, discipline enforcement to implement health protocols must be carried out. No one is immune to the coronavirus. Everything can be infected with this virus and can also transmit to other people. During the meeting, President Joko Widodo also reminded of the struggle and sacrifices that have been made by doctors, nurses, medical personnel, and paramedics who have spent weeks and even months devoting their energy to caring for COVID-19 patients and unable to meet their families. The president emphasized that what doctors, nurses, medical personnel, and paramedics have done should not be in vain, because the government does not act decisively for activities that are contrary to existing health protocols and regulation. The European Union Film Festival Europe on Screen EOS, one of the biggest film festivals with the longest duration in Indonesia, is screened again from November 16 to 30, 2020 through the Festival Scope online platform. This year, 40 films from 25 European countries can be watched from anywhere in Indonesia for free. Vincent Piquet, ambassador of the European Union to Indonesia, in his remarks at the virtual opening of Europe on Screen on Monday, said that apart from presenting films from 25 European countries, this film festival also promotes the talents of young Indonesian filmmakers through short pitching film competition.
The festival is also keen to promote promising young Indonesian filmmakers. And therefore, as in previous years, we will hold the short film pitching competition. For this year's competition, we have received an astounding number of 170 entries. We will announce the winners during the festival's closing in 15 days from now. And we are proud, in addition, to screen the films of the three winners of last year.
European Union Ambassador Vincent Piquet also said that apart from being medium to bring entertainment to everyone, at the same time, films can also enrich viewers with insight into various cultures. In this regard, he hopes Europe on Screen 2020 Film Festival can continue to spread messages about intercultural understanding between people of different beliefs, thoughts, and values. Head of the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, Lipi Laksana Trihandoko, believes that the emergence of a prime young generation serves as the key and capital to achieve an advanced Indonesia. Laksana Trihandoko at the virtual opening ceremony of the 2020 Youth Science Week in Jakarta on Monday stated, "The young generation has always been an important part of Indonesia's efforts to advance this nation and country. To this end, the LIPI had highlighted the importance of molding members of the young generation and equipping them with various skills and knowledge, as well as honing their personality that will create first-class human resources that can innovate, create, and compete at the global level. The young generation is encouraged to harbor a spirit of innovation and creativity, to develop critical thinking, and constantly seek solutions to detect and address problems encountered in the lives of the community, and develop a proclivity for science and technology." Minister of Public Works and Public Housing PUPR Basuki Hadi Mulyono, in his speech, which was read by Secretary General of Ministry Anita Firmanti in Jakarta on Monday, stated, "Infrastructure development is among the main factors responsible for restoring the positive trend in economic growth. As quoted by Antaranus Agency, the construction of infrastructure that continues to be carried out by the Ministry of Public Works and Public Housing is one of the important factors in restoring the positive trend in economic growth." The minister stated, "In the past 9 months, all countries in the world, including Indonesia, have felt the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, as evident in the weakening of productive sector and the contractions of the national economy. Indonesia must remain grateful that its condition is relatively better than other countries which have experienced a greater decline in the same period." He noted several efforts have been made to recover the national economy, one of which is increasing people's purchasing power through infrastructure development. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move it on to the international news. U.S. official on Monday stated that President Donald Trump asked for option on attacking Iran's main nuclear site last week, but ultimately decided against taking the dramatic step. As reported by Reuters.com, President Trump made the request during a meeting on Thursday with his top national security aides, including Vice President Mike Pence, his new acting defense secretary Christopher Miller, and General Mark Milley, chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff. The official confirmed the account of the meeting in the New York Times, which reported that the advisor persuaded Trump not to go ahead with the strike because of the risk of a broader conflict. South Korea will impose stricter social distancing rules for the Greater Seoul area a month after easing them, officials said on Tuesday, warning of an even bigger crisis if anti-COVID-19 efforts fail to dampen the spike in new cases. As quoted by Reuters.com on Tuesday, starting Tuesday midnight, tighter curbs will ban public gatherings of 100 people or more, limit religious services and audiences at sporting events to 30% capacity, and require high-risk facilities, including clubs and karaoke bars, to broaden distance among guests. South Korea has been one of the world's coronavirus mitigation success stories after tackling the first major COVID-19 epidemic outside China with aggressive tracing and testing, but continues to battle persistent rises in infections. Hungary and Poland have blocked approval of the European Union budget over a clause that ties funding with adherence to the rule of law in the bloc, as reported by BBC.com on Monday. The package includes 750 billion euros or 673 billion pounds sterling for a COVID recovery fund. Ambassadors of the 27 member states meeting in Brussels were unable to endorse the budget because the two countries vetoed it. Hungary and Poland have been criticized for violating democratic standards enshrined in the EU's founding treaty. The European Union is currently investigating both countries for undermining the independence of courts, media, and non-governmental organizations. The clause threatened to cost them billions of euros in EU funding. EU states had already agreed on the 1.1 trillion euro budget for 2021 to 2027 and the coronavirus stimulus package after a marathon four-day summit in July. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary on Message in International Tolerance Day. The world commemorates International Tolerance Day every November 16, 2020. UNESCO, in its Twitter account, delivered message and calls in a diverse world, tolerance is a prerequisite for peace. Every day we have to build new bridges for tolerance, trust, and understanding. Indeed, every November 16, we are reminded of tolerance. For Indonesia, these words and actions are deeply rooted in the lives of its entire people. The Indonesian nation has become great and strong because tolerance has been rooted and growing. Not only being tolerant among religious communities, but also being tolerant among groups, ethnicities, and groups. Tolerance is the key to maintaining peace at the 11th Asian UN High-Level Conference, which was held virtually on November 15, 2020. President Joko Widodo encouraged the UN to maintain diversity and tolerance. He also expressed his concern about witnessing religious intolerance and violence in the name of religion amid the current pandemic. If intolerance is let to happen, it will destroy apart harmony and nourish radicalism and extremism. On that occasion, President Joko Widodo urged the UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres to push the world to keep cooperating with strengthening tolerance, preventing hate speech, and rejecting violence for any reason. The request made by President Joko Widodo is the same as what Secretary General of the United Nations Antonio Guterres expressed in his Twitter account on Monday. Antonio called on the commemoration of International Tolerance Day to enhance human dignity, fight racism, and foster peace in everyday life. He also expressed his strong belief that by embracing diversity and mutual respect, every nation can help solve the biggest challenges. Maintaining tolerance must be a necessity. This was conveyed by Speaker of the House of Representatives DPR, Bambang Susatyo, in a virtual discussion on Monday. According to Speaker, the negligence of all elements of the nation in pursuing tolerance can ignite intolerance. Message about the importance of maintaining values and tolerance must continue to be echoed. For the Indonesian people, the message are deeply embedded in Pancasila. By practicing the values contained in the Pancasila, the Indonesian people interpret and practice tolerance. Tolerance is a simple word, but it has a deep and powerful meaning for maintaining peace. Everyone must tolerate others despite their different beliefs, class, ethnicity, or group. As stated in the 1995 UN Declaration, tolerance is respect, acceptance, and appreciation for the rich diversity of our world's culture, our forms of expression, and the way we are human beings. The Indonesian nation must continue to strengthen tolerance so that intolerance does not have a place, especially in this beloved archipelago and in other countries in general. Listener, that was commentary. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History. I'll begin with 17 November 1950. UN Security Council Resolution 89 is adopted. United Nations Security Council Resolution 89 was adopted on November 17, 1950. It stated that after receiving complaints from Egypt, Israel, Jordan, and the Chief of Staff of the Ceasefire Monitoring Organization regarding the implementation of the ceasefire treaty designed to end the Arab-Israeli War, the Council asked the Egyptian-Israeli Mixed Armistice Commission to pay attention to complaints about the expulsions of thousands of Palestinian Arabs. The Council asked the two parties to respond to the Commission's findings and to repatriate any Arabs believed to be entitled to return home by the Commission. Let's move on November 17, 1950, when Tenzin Gyatso, the 14th Dalai Lama, was named the head of the Tibetan state. Tenzin Gyatso is the 14th Dalai Lama of Tibet. On November 17, 1950, at the age of 15, he took the throne as head of the Tibetan state during the occupation of the area by by forces of the People's Republic of China. After the defeat of the Tibetan resistance movement in 1959, Tenzin Gyatso fled to India and established a Tibetan government in exile. Tenzin Gyatso is the first Dalai Lama to visit the Western world. In 1989, he received the Nobel Peace Prize. I learned Indian history on November 17, 2013, when the crash of Tatarstan Airlines Flight 363 happened. Tatarstan Airlines Flight 363 is a scheduled domestic passenger flight operated by Tatarstan Airlines under the name Akbars Aero from Moscow to Kazan, Russia. On November 17, 2013, at 7:20 p.m. local time, the Boeing 737-500 crashed at Kazan International Airport while trying to land, killing all 44 passengers and 6 crew members. This accident led to the temporary closures of the airport. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
lakukan semua inginku.
Next, we are going to give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia on adaptation and international cooperation are key in efforts to resolve transnational crime. Minister of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia, Retno Marsudi, said that amid the COVID-19 pandemic, organized crime continues to occur even in the health aspect, such as drug counterfeiting and cyber attacks on vital health infrastructure. This was expressed by Minister Retno Marsudi in her speech at the 20th anniversary of the United Nations Convention Against Transnational Organized Crime, UN Talk. The commemoration was held virtually from the UN headquarters in New York on Friday. The website of the Ministry of Foreign, kemlu.co.id, reported that this commemoration was also attended by UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, President of the UN General Assembly, Volkan Bozkir, and UNODC Executive Director Gada Wali. Minister Retno Marsudi also said that to face the challenges of transnational organized crime, she emphasized that the first thing to understand is that the characteristic of transnational organized crime tend to differ from one country to another. So, the approach taken must be situational. The second point is the importance of building and maintaining cooperation among countries globally. According to Minister Retno, no country can solve this problem alone, but before and amid the COVID-19. Minister Retno also specifically touched on the issue of Rohingya refugees as a form of organized human smuggling and trafficking in the region. Currently, Indonesia is hosting more than 900 people who have been victims of human trafficking and stranded on the high seas. Indonesia reemphasizes the importance of solving the Rohingya problems from the root of the problem through voluntary, safe, and dignified repatriation. She also said that for Indonesia, Myanmar is the home of the Rohingya refugees. The third point is that the approach and solution taken must continue to adapt according to the characteristic of the crime. In this regard, Minister Retno reiterated the importance of continuous adaptation so that UN Talk remains always relevant in overcoming organized transnational crime, both now and in the future. The United Nations Convention Against Transnational Organized Crime, or UN Talk, was adopted in Palermo, Italy, in 2000. The convention is the main international legal instrument regulating the problem of combating trafficking in person, people smuggling, and the illicit trade in firearms. Indonesia has been a party to the convention since 2009. Indonesia was chosen to be one of the joint sponsors of Italy and Morocco at the 20th anniversary of the adoptions of UN Talk, which was initiated by the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crimes, UNODC. The offer, as the only sponsor from Asia, shows international recognition for Indonesia's major role and leadership in the efforts to combat transnational organized crime. That was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo choku yo shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Forgo de getting over bragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Kupandang raut wajahmu, ada sesuatu mengganggu. Nampak jelas bahwa kamu selalu menggerutu, menggerutu. Pandang raut wajahmu, ada sesuatu mengganggu. Nampak jelas bahwa kamu selalu menggerutu, menggerutu. Takkan baik bila kamu sudah tak tahan begitu. Tak perlu menunggu waktu untuk kau berlalu, kau berlalu, kau berlalu, kau berlalu.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know about Wanawisata Kampung Rahong in West Java stationed. Pengalengan is a sub-district in Bandung Regency, West Java. Pengalengan is known as the center of milk production. In addition, Pengalengan also has a variety of interesting tourist attractions. One of them is Wanawisata Kampung Rahong. This tourism area has a 4.5 hectares area and divided into 6 different clusters. Each cluster also has excellent activities. For example, in the Rahong Pine Forest area, there are available several games. These activities include paintballs at a price of 85,000 rupiah per person and flying fox only 15,000 rupiah per person. Then there are also fun games which prices depend on the game request of each visitor. The price per hour is around 40,000 rupiah to 80,000 rupiah per person. At the Rahong Pine Forest, there is also a camping ground area where the nightly rate is 20,000 rupiah per person. When you come to the Pine Forest area, you have to pay only 5,000 rupiah for the entrance ticket. For those who want to camp in the area of the pine forest to reside, a special pine flat cluster is provided for this activity. There are two types of camping activities that can be done, namely camping in a dump tent with family and camping with a vehicle that can be brought into the area or a jeep camp. Another object at pine forest site is Singkur Natural Tourism Park. This cluster is located on the banks of the Palayangan River. At the Singkur Natural Site, you can tubing using tires to explore the swift water of the Palayangan River. The prices start from 50,000 rupiah to 90,000 rupiah per person, depending on the number of participants and facilities and distance of road. Besides that, there are also rafting activities that is suitable for groups with friends or family. With the prices are also varied starting from 125,000 rupiah per person. In one rafting package includes consumption, safety equipment, guides, insurance, and local transportation. If you want to try your adrenaline but don't want to get wet, you can try the off-road package with a rate of 200,000 rupiah per person, with the road of Gangbung, Situ Cilenca or Mount Tilu, Warnasari, Situ Cilenca. Besides enjoying the fresh water of the Palayangan River, you can also take a walk in the pine forest around the river area. There are also available simple lodgings such as cabins with quite cheap prices starting from 250,000 rupiah. During your tour at Wanawisata Kampung Rahong, you also can visit to Rahong Hill. Usually, this cluster is used only for the selfie area. There are several photo spots offered to the visitors. For those who want to stay overnight, you can choose several cabins that are scattered in the Singkur Natural Tourism Cluster and Singkur Village Tour. If you want to stay at the Singkur Natural Tourism in large numbers, there are also large cabins priced around 1.5 million rupiah per night. The cabin can accommodate up to 20 people with complete facilities such as toilets, television, audio karaoke, and breakfast. Besides the camping area, Singkur Village Tourism also has lodging facilities such as glamping. The price is around 600,000 rupiah per unit for a capacity of 4 people. So, if you are planning to travel with family or friends, Kampung Rahong is a very interesting tourist attraction for you to visit. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Siapa yang benar salah, siapa yang
For the next segment, we will present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. In our program, Let's Speak Indonesian, Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, we will introduce to you some Indonesian vocabularies and expressions, and we invite you to speak in Indonesian. This program is a cooperation program between the Voice of Indonesia and the Department of Language Development and Language Education of the Indonesian Ministry of Education and Culture.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian, a segment that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to converse in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language and Book Development Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is di sawah, or in English, in the rice fields. Next, I will give an example of a conversation on di sawah, or in the rice field. Rama invites Kevin to play to Rama's father's rice field. Then Kevin sees people harvesting rice.
Kevin, ayo kita main ke sawah milik ayahku.
Ayo, pasti seru sekali.
Lihatlah para petani yang sedang memanen padi.
Wah iya benar, aku senang sekali bisa melihat langsung padi yang dipanen.
Menarik bukan?
Iya.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, di sawah. Di sawah, which means in the rice fields. I will say the words twice and you can repeat after me. Main. Main, which means to play. Sawah. Sawah, which means rice field. Pasti seru sekali. Pasti seru sekali, which means it must be very exciting. Lihatlah, lihatlah, which means look. Memanen, memanen, which means to harvest. Padi, padi, which means rice. Wah, wah, which means wow. Aku senang sekali. Aku senang sekali, which means I'm so happy. Menarik bukan? Menarik bukan? Which means interesting, isn't it? Alangkah. Alangkah, which means how. Melihat langsung. Melihat langsung, which means to see directly. Para petani. Para petani, which means the farmers. Milik ayahku. Milik ayahku, which means belongs to my father. If you want to express your pleasure, you can say aku senang sekali. Aku senang sekali, which means I'm so happy. Or menyenangkan sekali. Menyenangkan sekali, which means it's so nice. To respond to expression of pleasure, you can use menarik bukan? Menarik bukan, which means interesting, isn't it? Or wah, syukurlah. Wah, syukurlah, which means wow, thank God, like in the following example. For instance, someone says, lihatlah para petani yang sedang memanen padi. Lihatlah para petani yang sedang memanen padi, which means look at the farmers harvesting rice. You can answer with, wah, iya benar, aku senang sekali bisa melihat langsung padi yang dipanen. Wah, iya benar, aku senang sekali bisa melihat langsung padi yang dipanen. Which means, wow, that's right, I'm very happy to see the harvested rice first hand. Other example, lihatlah para petani yang sedang memanen padi. Lihatlah para petani yang sedang memanen padi. Which means, look at the farmers who are harvesting rice. Wah, Iya, benar. Menyenangkan sekali bisa melihat langsung padi yang dipanen. Wah, iya benar. Menyenangkan sekali bisa melihat langsung padi yang dipanen. Which means, wow, that's right. It's great to be able to see the harvested rice directly. Wah, syukurlah. Wah, syukurlah. Which means, wow, thank God. In Indonesian, people usually use exclamation words to express pleasure, such as wah, wah, which means wow, 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 which means wow, hore, hore, which means hooray, alangkah, alangkah, which means how, followed by adjective. These exclamation words are also to express a sense of admiration as well as a person's joy towards something. Well, listen up, before ending, mari berbahasa Indonesia on Let's Speak Indonesian today. For more details, let's listen to the example of the conversation one more time.
Kevin, ayo kita main ke sawah milik ayahku.
Ayo, pasti seru sekali.
Lihatlah para petani yang sedang memanen padi.
Wah iya benar, aku senang sekali bisa melihat langsung padi yang dipanen.
Menarik bukan?
Iya.
Well, listen, that was today's edition of Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Indonesian. Hopefully it can be useful for those of you who want to know Indonesian better. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Sampai jumpa.
Lapisan tipis air yang beku, sentuhan lembut kan hancurkan aku. Walaupun cinta yang sempurna menghampiriku seketika, ku ingin kau tahu betapa rapuhnya.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.vinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we present a mellow song entitled Halimun Malam, sung by Mus Mulyadi. The song Halimun Malam, which was composed by A. Halik, tells about someone who missed his lover. The man felt restless with an unstoppable longing. Like its sad lyrics, the song has slow tempo music. The song Halimun Malam included in the Dali Mala Golden Collection album. Mus Mulyadi was a famous kroncong singer in Indonesia who has a nickname of Buaya Kroncong or Kroncong Crocodile. The term of crocodiles in the kroncong world are given for those who have charming voices in dedicating kroncong songs. He was famous to sing kroncong songs. Mus Mulyadi also very good to sing Malay songs. Well, listener, let's listen to the song Halimun Malam by Mus Mulyadi. Enjoy the song.
Listener, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and also send your email to voi@voinews.id.